is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah,
this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Day in the neighborhood on The Usual Suspects, and I'm here. Nick is back.
Hey!
Always great to
hear.
What
up, people? How y'all doing?
Quick Shanana is back, and we are always glad to have him. And everything, I trust, is safe and sound and well with you, Nicholas.
All is well. All is well. Can't tell you I did anything exciting, so sorry. Would love to tell you that I did something fun, but no.
Oh, you did something exciting, all right. We'll get to that. And then what's-his-name's back, too, right?
Okay. Now, why are you being like that?
You know exactly why I'm being like that.
I don't. Why are you being
First
like
of
that?
All, you're a horrible liar.
What?
And second of all, you know damn well that you still have me blocked on Twitter. I was going to send you a message on something last night, and I went, this motherfucker, I mean.
Hey.
Too early for that, sir.
I mean, did you think I would lift it?
Did
you?
Think I did. Would... Yeah, you've done this kind of crap in the past where, for the sake of the other Twitter people, you went along with it for like 30 minutes, and then you would subtly just lift it, but you didn't do it this time. Now, there's a term for you that I'm not going to use on radio. There's
bitch
several,
babe?
Actually. No.
Oh.
No. If you're a wine drinker, it would...
Oh? Yeah,
never mind. Nope. Mm-mm, worse than that. Way worse than that.
Hmm. I don't know what that would be, but, I mean, I understand that you're upset, but you kind of knew the rules, though. Everybody
knows
the
rules.
It
really wasn't. You know what? And first of all, I don't cater to your rules. And second of all, it really wasn't. It wasn't a spelling correction. But here's the thing: it's going to be real interesting when me and my wife are scheduled on these live chats. And the minute that it's time to connect, it's going to be like, "Oops, sorry, you're blocked. I don't know what's going on. Can't be doing those things." Yeah.
See?
Oh well, it's just not going to work out.
See,
another night with Trey.
Unlike Nick, I'm not going to cater to your bullying and like with the liquor.
I'm supposed to cater to your BS rule system, but you want fine. Uh-huh.
No, look. I said I would block my mom, and I totally would. I said
now you're comparing me to your mom. It's getting better.
I'm just saying if my grandma came. No, I'm not comparing you to my mom. I'm just giving you a scenario. If my grandmother came back from the dead to correct my spelling. She's getting blocked.
Didn't correct your spelling. You used a different word.
Well,
it was grammar, not spelling.
Well,
it's a technicality, and the fact that the technicality has lasted this long.
No. It's not because I used a different. It's not because I used a different word. I misspelled a word. It just happened to be misspelled.
I didn't realize that because both of them are actual words. So you don't put that on me. That's the fact that you missed. Error.
Because there's a dispute in this, maybe I'll lift the ban. Because
and then
you're
maybe
right.
Maybe I'll do your show. That's fine.
Well, that's okay. Now you're see what you do is if you do that, now you make me dig in my heels and say, okay, I'm just not gonna lift the ban because he's being like that. And then if you don't do the show, I'll bring Nick back again. Or I'll just live stream baseball. I'll just play. See how
live
you have
stream
to be
baseball.
And I'm
How
good
are you
with
that.
That's fine.
See how you have to be. You can't compartmentalize it to just Twitter. Now you're like, okay, well, I'm just not going to do your live stream.
I don't have rules like you. I don't live my life by the rules that you're trying to force others to live by.
You so make this so complicated because now I feel like I have to defend myself. Yeah,
I do.
I feel like I have to be like you're trying to bully me, like with Nick and the alcohol. And I just now I feel
First
like
of all,
I
there
have
was
to
no
defend
bullying.
My...
There was generosity with Nick and the alcohol. That you
I
was
feel like
totally
I have
different.
To defend my e honor now,
Nick. Where I mean, come on.
Oh my God! Did you guys have a good evening? Anything interesting? Anything fun?
I tuned into your podcast for 30 minutes. Got to
Dumbass.
See. Shock.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
a solid
you did.
30 minutes. I tuned into Barry's Funnies YouTube channel,
and you made fun of me for being fat on my own live stream, which is par for the course.
That
par,
was a part of. You see what I did there was like I tuned in, took
just
a shot. And then I said, well, I don't want him to think that I tuned in just to take the shot. So
just
I might as well
fat.
Stay tuned in for like 30 minutes because I didn't want you to notice that I left after I took the shot. You know what I mean?
So you were like a sniper? You just took a shot and ran?
Yeah. He goes, oh, hey, what's up, guys? Barry's fat. Look at those chins. Bounced. Yeah. That's pretty much how it went down
set
the
up,
live chat.
Said what's up to Patrick Grandizzle.
Oh, yeah.
Walt. Eric Resendez.
Donna, I mean, him
Andy.
And Donna. So he tunes in and goes, wow, Barry, I don't know what you did to the camera to make yourself look thin, which was a shot. And then Donna goes, what are you talking about? Look at those chins.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah,
oh,
she called my eyes bald. Look at those chins.
Yeah. Yeah. She,
wow,
Donna. Like,
well played, ma'am. I owe
like,
her a second hug when we go to Bumble.
Can you ban people from chat? Because if you can, I need to get on that. This is not appropriate. You can't. You're supposed to attack other people, not me. It's my live stream. I'm supposed to be the king and the star. What are you doing? You can't. You don't do that. It's just the worst.
Hey, I tuned in for a solid 30 minutes.
You did
sir.
Though. You did, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody that's been tuning
in. Yeah, it was
cool
to see
this
some
has been
the
a lot of
on
fun
there too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a lot of fun. It's been good times. I'm really looking forward to Joel and Lisa and. And I've got AJ this week. I got you this week. It's going to be a good time.
Well, you had Joel and Lisa, but you got the rest of them lined up. So that's fine.
I mean, listen, it was just a courtesy that I extended the invite to you. I'm going to be upset if Lisa doesn't do it. But if you
well,
don't,
first
I mean,
of all,
we
I
do
can
this
make
5 days
sure
a week.
She doesn't do it. And think? If it was just a courtesy, you don't need me anyway. So there you go. So I'm not doing it. And now, just like you said, on principle, because I won't be, I'll just stick to my principle and my guns. That's fine.
This is how we, this is literally how we just like, I mean, I have a list of 108 other people, Joel. You can't
well,
hang
then,
this over my head.
Now you got a list of 107.
I want
that's
you to
fine.
Do it, though. Listen, you know why I want you to do no. it? And I wanted Lisa to do it because I want to get that, I want to, like, off air, I want to, like, give people the backstory on the show and all the drama that we went. I think it would be great. People would tune in for that. But, you know, if you're going to be a crybaby about it, then we just won't do it.
Well, you can call me names now.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Damage is done.
I probably spelled crybaby wrong, but hey.
At least if you had to use a comma, I warn people now, don't try and correct him.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I, look, it's the one, and it's really, it's just a matter of principle. It's not, because I know I'm a horrible speller. I fully and completely admit it. But I'm also, you know, anti-correcting.
See, I'm
now,
a
I like to correct
man,
other
adult
people.
Enough to I can't even remember what the two different words were, but I knew that I didn't correct your spelling. I just made notated that you, I think you meant this instead of that. But the fact that of the two of us, you're the better man in this according to you, then I'll just roll on. That's fine.
God, this really is like having another wife. It really is. Like you're like, fine, I'll just that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just whatever. I'll be over here. Don't sleep. Nope. Get on your side of the bed. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. That's what you're doing the live stream version of Don't Touch Me. You're
don't
like,
leave
nope.
the cap off the toothpaste.
not,
yeah,
I'm
but
not
here,
doing your live
yeah.
stream. Don't touch me.
Yeah, but here's the thing. No, you're doing it first by being the – you're doing
you started
it first
it. What are we,
by
five?
Doing what Nick
you
just said. Nick, you pegged it. Essentially, I left the cap off the toothpaste because some little idiosyncrasy pet peeve that she has, like correcting a tweet or leaving the cap off the toothpaste, results in like the essential no nookie. Or in this case, no, now I'm blocking you. Now there's no more Twitter. You know, you didn't put the cap on the toothpaste. Now there's no more Twitter.
I like how you took the example and analogy I gave and then just was like, well, I'm not going to come up with my own. I'm going to use his. See, this is where we're at. I just.
I used yours. I used Nick's. I used Nick's because it was a good analogy.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Nick, my bad, man. I didn't mean to steal your bit.
Yeah,
on
just
that.
Stepping all my over bad. My stuff.
Yeah, that's
dog.
My bad. Yeah, my bad.
Joel, I say you just don't do his show. That was the first text.
Nick,
people
I'm out.
Saying,
I'm not
just
doing,
don't do the show.
Nick, I'm not doing your podcast with you and Waz because of this, okay?
Okay. You know what? See, you're just messing things up for everybody, Barry.
No, I'm actually going to do that, but that's fine. I did watch, by the way, another catastrophe last night because
what?
I thought it was the same show repeated, but instead on Fox nationally, they had the TMZ version of behind the scenes on Tiger King. And
so
I can honestly tell
it.
You, I watched that one. I didn't watch the one that evidently the night before was hosted by Joel McHale where he was trying to be funny the whole show, they said, and there was nothing to it. This one was maybe a little better because the sheriff in Florida said not only has he reopened the case on Carol killing her ex-husband, but he basically came out and said that, you know, there's a lot of reasons why there are holes in her alibi. And, you know, they even said that when she drew up the will and Nancy Grace was on and Harvey Levin, the head of TMZ, all three, Grace and Levin, our lawyers, said, I've never in all my years in being a lawyer have seen a will where it says, by the person that whose will it is, says, in the case of me disappearing. So they essentially think she absolutely, whether she acted alone or not, she had something to do with it, if not did it. That was one of the good takeaways. But other than that, it was just kind of – it was okay.
You know, it's sad because I think this was one of those whirlwind pop culture storms where it was just every – people were, you know, starting to get locked in and there's nothing going on. And so this just consumed everybody. And now, of like anything, people are going to try to capitalize on it and continue the success and the heat from it. But now you're getting subpar follow-ups. It's almost like sequels, right? Like a really hot movie makes a sequel, you know, Fast and the Furious 53 or whatever. And it's like, okay, the first one was great, but it loses some of its luster and its steam. And I think that's where we're at now with all the Tiger King stuff. Plus, you're starting to realize that all these people that you were like, oh, that's cool, I like that. Now they're all just jerks and idiots and a-holes. And it's starting to wear out for me real quick.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the luster has worn off in terms of, you know, you had a diamond in the rough to start with because no one saw this thing coming. But, you know, by this point in it, yeah, I think it's the boy who cried wolf once too often. There's just I've had enough. So,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. All right. We're just getting started on the show. Good to have Nick back. So we've got all the suspects on board. So we'll have plenty of fun for the next 3 hours. You guys can join us, too, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about them for a while. You know, during these tough times, you're at home. And guys, you got a lot of family running around. You got the kids. You're trying to get back on a workout schedule, and you just have no energy. Well, there's a way that you can nip all of this in the bud, and you can take care of it. It's Apollo Men's Health. They are a clinic that is just solely dedicated to giving you your energy back, giving you your life back, and giving you all the kind of get up and go that you need from the bedroom to the business world to the family. In addition to traditional testosterone therapy, Apollo Men's Health also offers cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that reduces your weekly visits, especially during this time with the coronavirus. You don't want to be traveling more than you have to. Well, if you do the pellet testosterone therapy, you get the same kind of energy boost, but you don't have to go and stop in as often to Apollo Men's Health. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy to increase your overall quality of life. I mean, quite simply, your health is your wealth, and you need to invest in yourself, and Apollo Men's Health is where you do that. 832-664-9966. Give them a call. 832-664-9966, or you can go to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment now. Most major insurance accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check them out at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Second segment of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects with Barry, Nick, and myself. On a Tuesday in the big city, fellas, it is on for way back Wednesday. Tomorrow, the thinking caps should already be well-placed on the noggin as we try and figure out a theme for this week. So you guys can send in your suggestions on that as the show goes. So we will look forward to hearing those before we come up with some kind of a decision.
I had a good one for, which I thought would be this week, but something for the NFL draft next week. But that, I thought the NFL draft was next week, but it's not.
It is.
It is next week?
Yeah, it's the 23rd.
Week. What about cities from the NFL draftees are from? We can just pick a mock draft and then do cities from there.
Songs from, yeah.
That Songs from Tuscaloosa?
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Gainesville?
Top, like, 100 picks. That'll be a good variety of cities, right?
Yes.
And a bunch of college towns, but I don't know if we get anybody from them.
I just Googled famous bands from Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
Four bands came up. The Dexa Teens, CBDB, Gideon, and Dead Man in Reno.
Well, I got enough songs there just to cover up my whole list.
CBDB, you left a B off the
name.
Yeah, that's going to be not good. So is it from the colleges where the players were born or where we think that they'll be drafted?
Yeah, like where they were born or where they're from. You know what I mean? Because if you do just the college, I think if you do college.
So Ed Oliver would be from Houston.
Correct.
Okay. Just using a previous draftee, okay? Don't get me started with people going, Ed Oliver ain't in the draft this year, man. He's already been drafted by the Buffalo Bills. I know that.
Well, but he was born in Houston and played for Houston, so that may be not a good one. What about Jalen Hurts, for example? What would he be? Mm-hmm. He was born in Channelview, so that's Houston, but he played at OU. So which
their hometown, Nick, or the town they went to school in?
Their hometown, because I don't think the schools of them are going to be
because
major
Jalen
schools.
Hurts because Jalen Hurts would be a bad example because you know he went to two universities, so you could actually say Tuscaloosa, or you could say. You know, Norman for Oklahoma. I just want to point that out. It'd be a bad example. Oh, God. Can we keep it like this? That's so awesome.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Feel like it's a segment from the
good
Blitz.
Good times. Yeah. The pause?
Yeah.
Yeah.
713-780.
That didn't help us this week, but next week, nailed it. We're good. Did you see, it was slim pickings for stuff to talk about this week for sure, but this week probably too. Did you see, Walt sent me a link this morning and after Christian McCaffrey was announced as the highest paid running back with his new deal, yeah. Alvin Kamara was streaming on, I don't know if they were on Twitch or what they were doing. I think it was, yeah, they were playing video games. Him and three other dudes were playing video games on Twitch. And when Kamara, they were like, whoa, hey, this just dropped. McCaffrey just got a deal, highest paid. And in the live stream, Kamara goes, "Here I come."
See,
like, that was his first words out of his mouth. You know he was like, "Oh, snap, payday time." Because he goes, "Here I come." And then he adds, "Shout out to Christian, man. That's my boy, talented for sure." But his initial reaction was, "Oh, I'm getting paid. If Christian McCaffrey's going to get paid,
now,
I'm getting paid."
This isn't quite David Johnson, but I would say if you're Alvin Kamara of 2 years ago, okay, you'd be well on your way to getting paid. But since I had him on my fantasy team last year, I know almost too much about how he just did not live up to expectations this last year. And I understand Breeze was hurt, but you still had a very, very good backup in Teddy Bridgewater, who went 5-0 when he was quarterbacking the team. I know he'd been dinged up a little bit, but when you get to the negotiation table, teams are going to be treating it like a business. It's not going to be all buddy-buddy like it is when you're under contract for 5 years and you're set on the roster. They look at it and go, "Yeah, you know, it's kind of like Tua right now getting ready for the draft. No matter how good you were in college, they're picking apart the injuries. They're wondering if you're injury prone. They're wondering, you know, if you're going to be limited." So those are the things that they're going to bring up as negatives against you. I think in Kamara's case, it's similar in that everybody can go, "Yeah, you've had some good years. However, in the Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately rule, I look at last year and I go, are you really as good or better than Christian McCaffrey?"
Yeah, that's where it falls off, because I mean, obviously they were drafted in the same year. Kamara was a third round pick. Christian McCaffrey was the first round pick. So if you just look at career totals, so Kamara he played 16 games, then 15, then 14. McCaffrey, which to a lot of people's surprise has been pretty consistent. You know, he's played in 16 games every year, and I would have assumed that he would have gotten hurt. He only started 10 his first year, but you know, rookies, that's going to happen. Kamara only started in 3 games. But when you look, just a quick comparison of total yards, when it comes to rushing, McCaffrey, 2,900 yards, 24 touchdowns. Kamara, 2,400 yards, 27 touchdowns. Less yards, more touchdowns. When it comes to receiving, there's a bit of a difference. McCaffrey, 300 receptions, 2,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. Kamara, 243 receptions, 2,060 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Still great numbers, but
yeah, still both have great numbers. But to think you're going to leapfrog Christian McCaffrey when you really haven't been putting up the same kind of numbers as Christian McCaffrey on both sides, rushing and receiving. That's why he got the money he got, because you could literally, he is a jack of all trades, and really, I mean, he's not Duke Johnson. He's not, you know, Darren Sproles, where he's good at one thing, but you can't rely on him every down. He's an every down back. That could be a third down back. That could be a pass catcher.
And the
back.
Thing is,
he's everything.
He's on a steady incline. Like every year, he's up in his numbers. He's improved. Mm-hmm. When you look at Kamara, he started out like a house of fire, and he's kind of cooled off a little bit. So you know, you kind of look at that from projection standpoint and go, "Well, sky's the limit for McCaffrey," because we don't know if he's got a ceiling. He keeps adding to his stellar years. Kamara has to have a prove it year, which is probably good for him with him not having an extension yet. That, you know, bet on yourself and go, and the Saints are going to be loaded. That if you go, you know, bounce back and have a great year this year, then you'll be in that conversation. But for the time being, I don't think that what he has done recently sets him up to surpass or equal what McCaffrey just signed for.
I agree with both of you guys, but I think you can't get mad at him for acting like he's just as good, if not better. You know
True.
What I mean? Like He has to put that out there and kind of lobby for it at the very minimum. But I tend to agree with you. I think there's some leverage that a team could exploit when it comes down to contract negotiations. And I think Kamara's probably going to see the brunt of that, and he may not be happy about it. But yeah, the numbers are close. He has good numbers, but the injury-prone label in itself awards you so much leverage, especially at that position. Now, let's say you had that many injuries, and let's say you were a quarterback, or, you know, if you're, you know, maybe a pass rusher or something, where a position is where it's hard to find, you might have some more leverage and surpass McCaffrey maybe. But at the running back position, I don't see that happening at all.
Well, here's the other thing. If you're a Texans fan, that you can hang your head on and be extremely pleased about. ESPN was running on the crawl this morning. The top five highest paid running backs in the game now, with McCaffrey number one, Le'Veon Bell number two. Your own David Johnson is number four. So with that said, boy, oh boy, you got to feel good about everything you got going for you down on Kirby. I mean, if nothing else, forget the stats. Let's just look at pure salary and go, you got a top four running back in the league.
Yeah, God, two of the top 14 because of Duke Johnson. Man, we talked a little bit about that yesterday, how with this McCaffrey deal, it pushed David Johnson down a little bit, but I think he was second, and now he's third. And that's not where
he's third or fourth.
No, he's third because he makes $11 million towards the cap. It was Le'Veon Bell, because we dove into it a little bit yesterday, but Le'Veon Bell was at 15.5 or 15.6, and this put McCaffrey ahead of him. And then you've got Le'Veon Bell and then David Johnson. Duke Johnson was 15. He'll be 16 now. But not what you have 15 or 16 million tied up in these two running backs who aren't worth it. They're getting paid like Le'Veon Bell and Christian McCaffrey, but they're producing like David and Duke Johnson. It's just not good.
No, not at all. So there's that. So Texas fans rejoice. We've got many more things to get to as we get started on the show. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you suspects as you chime in throughout. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. Back with the second half hour right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, just rolling through the first hour, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, whether you are practicing social distancing and getting some kind of exercise or out and about running to the store or the gas station, or you're just staying at home and you got us on the app, or you're working because you're essential, we appreciate you listening in your day as we hopefully give you some levity and entertainment with everything going on. I put this down yesterday, Barry, but for all three of us to discuss, it's better. There's an article out that says Tillman Fertitta is looking for a $250 million loan to keep his hospitality empire afloat. Another article came out and said he's laid off 45,000 people.
Damn.
Not a very good sign for the fearless leader of your Houston Rockets. Also notated, he does not want... I'll use a different term because you have hit me with this one before. He does not want secondhand ownership to get involved with the Rockets. He wants to be the sole owner of the team. So he's not looking to sell off a part of it. But it sounds like times are a little tough over at the man with the Landry's empire and the head of the Toyota Center.
Yeah, I was just looking at the article that you had posted. 15% interest is what he's willing to pay to a lender.
Yeah,
I wonder if this is for salaries or what is the loan for?
In terms of the two different articles I saw, because there was another one out there where they quoted the 45,000 people laid off, where they were saying it's across the board because
of lost
revenues.
Well, they were furloughed, right? They weren't laid off; they were furloughed, so they're not getting paid, but they have jobs when this bounces back. Okay, because there is
supposedly in most cases, but like of course, to get the clicks, the headline said Tillman Fertitta has already laid off. I mean, has already laid off 45,000 employees as he tries to keep businesses up and running. I would assume that for projected revenues that aren't there. I don't know about creditors because, I know he's had this quote-unquote empire, but I also know that in order to put together a $2.2 billion offer that was accepted when he sold the team, and not have investors with him, that I'm sure you've got to borrow from somewhere and or anticipate revenues for the coming years.
I think that's crazy, though, that he offered that. To me, the weird part is the 15% loan rate that he's lobbying for, he's willing to take, because to me, that's insane. Now, we don't know how much, like, how bad it is really for Tillman Fertitta. He could just be using that as an excuse, right, so he can be the sole owner, meaning I won't go out of business. I won't lose my businesses. I just won't be the sole owner, and I don't want to lose that. It could be a much worse situation, but to offer 15% is crazy when the average is like 4 to 6% for a business
loan. Right.
That's just absolutely insane. So it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if he really wants to be the sole owner, and that's what it would have to take for him to get out of this rut that he's in because of the coronavirus. Would it really take another owner to come in and invest in the Houston Rockets? Really? Or does he just, is he looking to, you know, lobby for some cash flow so he can, you know, I don't know what the real situation is. He could be telling.
I don't see him selling the team. I'll say that. Yeah. I don't, you know, I think of all of his assets, and obviously he's got, you know, tons in Galveston. He basically owns the entire, what is it down there where Joe's Crab, I mean, Kima Boardwalk. He basically owns the Kima Boardwalk. You know, he's got his hotels and restaurants with Landry's and the hotel here in Houston proper. He's got the Golden Nugget in Vegas. I think of all of his entities and properties, I think the one thing that he's most proud of that he would be least likely to let go of would be the Rockets.
Well, the loan looks like it's not for the Rockets. It's for the other stuff. Yeah, the casinos and stuff.
But to Nick's point, if he is hurting, if there's more to this than we even know, then at some point you got to start trimming off assets, right?
I don't think he's hurting. He's worth $4 million. Now, a lot of the worth isn't liquid. $4 billion. It's not liquid. It's not $4 billion of cash that he's sitting on. A lot of it is the worth of the restaurants. It's the worth of the casino, the worth of the Rockets or whatnot. So I think you have to take that into account. But the fact that he had $50 million of his own money put in, along with he had apparently $300 million of existing credit lines that he used, and now he's looking for more. So it makes you wonder what's going on in those other businesses, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's – and let's be real, man. If your empire is restaurants, that's one of the things that's really suffering right now.
And if it's not that, Barry, it's hotels.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, nobody's going to Vegas. No one's
casinos,
going to the Nugget.
Yep.
Yeah, no one's gambling. No one's staying at the Nugget. No one's staying even locally here at this – what is it, the Post Oak Hotel or whatever it is that he's got there off of 610. And like you said, with the Landry's empire, with Vic and Anthony's and Grotto and all the different ones he's got, you know, I don't think people are taken out as frequently from a really high-class restaurants like those as they are, per se, by, you know, grab-and-go restaurants or, you know, sports bar-type atmospheres, things like that.
And let's be real. People are going to support local small businesses that are mom-and-pop. And not that, you know, it's like, you know, some of his places aren't national chains necessarily, but when you look at it versus, you know, the burger joint that you know Frank owns, that it's the only one and it's how he makes his money, and he's not a millionaire or a billionaire, people are going to go and spend the money with him before they go to a Tillman Fertitta restaurant sometimes.
And I think as well they should, because I think that in every, you know, in every different neighborhood or community, you know that you want to do your part so that places that when everything was hunky-dory in the world that you were frequenting, that you really enjoyed and got satisfaction out of going to, you want to see them stay afloat. And so you want to do your part while times are tough for them so that they're there when things clear up again. And I think that, yeah, the assumption is that, you know, whatever Tillman's restaurants and businesses are, they're going to be fine.
By the way, hunky-dory, one of the all-time most underrated words in the English language.
Okay.
No, for real. Like, my mom used to use that all the time, and I thought, I don't know why.
Second comparison to your mom today. Okay.
Nope. I'm not comparing you to my mom.
Yeah,
kind of are.
Comparison. Yeah, see, thank you, Nick.
She's
appreciate
a way
what
better
you're doing.
Human being. Huh?
It's kind
oh,
of
really?
What you're doing.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said that just like my mom would say it. Oh, really?
there's three. And her charitable. I mean, she's better than me because, in terms of charitable contributions to the world, no one could have a bigger charitable contribution than putting you here.
Me.
So, yes.
No, hunky dory, though. Highly underrated word. Do you not agree?
I used it, so I'm fine with it. I don't know how Nick feels about it, but I'm good with it.
I probably would not include that in my vocabulary, but I can see. I get it. I appreciate it.
I mean, it's a good word. It's all right. I'll stand.
The only thing I would say in terms of being the whole Tillman thing, in terms of from a Rockets perspective, is I also go back to the fact that, you know, you see Joe Lacob and some of these guys that own the Warriors and some of the other teams where, you know, going over the cap and taking the hit doesn't scare them. And then you see that the Rockets and Tillman was so highly concerned that, you know, from what you hear and read, there were stories out there that said he basically said, unless you really feel like this team is capable of winning a championship, then you need to do whatever you need to do to get under the cap before the deadline. And that's concerning because going forward, you got to believe that the Rockets in the next, you know, window of what, 3 to 5 years are going to have some chances to compete. And you hope that he still has enough in terms of assets and confidence and liquid, you know, assets to say, I'm not afraid to do this, so that the Rockets aren't, you know, short a piece and they don't go get it for the sake of being frugal as opposed to going for it when the time is right.
Well, somebody suggested, they were like, I wonder if he's like Trump, where all his money is, you know, borrowed money, front money. I don't think that's the case. I mean, the Fertittas have had money for a very long time. So I don't think it's the, you know, it's a, I think he's as rich as he says he is. Mm-hmm. But it just depends on where the money is. That's the key, is it's not, is he worth that amount? It's, does he have access to the cash?
And is he willing to freely spend it? In the case of the Rockets as well. Yeah. And he's not like Trump until he starts a Rockets press conference with a 15-minute video talking about how great his restaurants and all of his things are.
That was kind of bizarre, wasn't it?
Then he'll be there. That was really bizarre. Yeah, and again, I don't get political.
Oh, no, you are
do
now.
But when I didn't know about it till Lisa told me after the show, and I was like, no way. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, it's getting crazier by the day with the corona, darn corona. The corona. So we're rolling through the first hour of the show. Still got one segment to go in hour number one, but we take you all the way till 4 o'clock. So plenty of opportunities for you to chime in. Join us, won't you? 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, where you can call or text or hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the band is back together. Nick, Barry, and myself till 4 as we are kicking it around, sports and other things. Nick, you were out yesterday. Don't know if you caught the story or not, but we had spoken about the fact that this whole Kyle Larson dropping the N-bomb during the virtual NASCAR race was pretty crazy and pretty uncalled for. A day after the NASCAR suspended him indefinitely, several of his sponsors dropped him, and then Ganassi Racing, led by Chip Ganassi, fired him. So I'm sorry. I don't feel bad for the guy in the fact that he did this to himself. And, Barry, you and I got into it pretty in-depth yesterday. But, you know, a day later, you know, it may be a little late on the decision-making front from Ganassi Racing, but I think they made the right decision.
Oh, was that me or Nick? I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's the right thing to do. And we talked yesterday about, was there, you know, intent. You have to look at all those things, but you just can't have that as a face of your brand at this point. That's the world that we live in, and it's the right thing to do. Do I think that dude's a racist? No. Do I think that he's just another, you know, dude that grew up using that word because he felt entitled enough or privileged enough to say that word, maybe because he has friends that are black and they're okay with it? Yeah. Do I think it was malicious? No. Even though it sounded like the ER and not the A, at the end of the day, as a business, you just can't have that. You can't. It was clear and obvious that he did it. It was a no doubt thing, and that's what happens when you use language like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good move because he is dubbed as a NASCAR star, and as you know, some people can overcome that. I think Richie the Dolphins Incognito, who had a video that surfaced, and his didn't end with the A, it ended with the ER, and he was able to overcome it because I guess, you know, there was value at his position. So I think it's a really good move because Kyle Larson is dubbed as a NASCAR star, and he's young, and he's 27, and he had a lot of sponsors and a lot of, you know, he had a future ahead of him. So for him to be able to just make that move, I don't know if he'll be able to overcome this and get a job somewhere down the line. But yeah, I think it's a really tough but smart move.
And I think from the racing team's perspective, you know, obviously you have to discipline him. But on top of that, and we just got done talking about, you know, professional sports and finances these days. When you're not racing and McDonald's, Credit One Bank, Fiserv, and basically all of his sponsors just dropped him, which means they're dropping the racing team basically as well every time something like that happens. And it happens almost across the board. That's not a good sign. That's like 100 times worse than Daryl Morey, you know, costing the organization $8 million. I mean, when you talk about racing and how important sponsorship is and things like that, you know, obviously they're going to feel even more pressure than they would to just do the right thing for the fact that he shouldn't have said what he said. So, yeah. You know, the question now becomes if he's going to get a second chance. I think at some point somebody's going to probably say he learned his lesson and give him a second chance. And that's fine. I'm fine with that, too.
You think
as
so?
Long as he... I think as long as he does what's necessary between now and then, which means he gets some help and he addresses the issue. You know, he came right out and said, look, I'm probably never going to overcome this. And I made a mistake and apologized profusely. And he understands the damage that was done and he owns it. But owning it is one thing, but getting help for it is another. And I think that if he does that, and obviously he's shown remorse, I think somebody eventually is going to give him another shot.
How about surrounding yourself with different people? Because obviously if it came out like that, he was comfortable enough in another circumstance or atmosphere to just say it. And that still doesn't mean that, in my opinion, that he's racist or his friends are racist. But he might have gotten to a point where he was comfortable using that word because his friends do that, whether they were black or not. So I tend to agree with Joel. I think, you know, if you address it, you apologize. If he does need help, sure. If that's what it takes, sure. But I think if he apologizes it and he acknowledges it and he sticks to that road, then, yeah, I'm okay with him getting another chance. I don't know his history, so I don't know if he's known to make comments like this.
No, I don't think he is. And I think Barry made some good points yesterday in breaking it down. I mean, look, there's a segment of the population in which that word is acceptable and other guys, you know, work it out with their African-American friends where they, you know, almost, you know, think, I don't know, to try and feel like they're part of the group or whatever, they feel like they should be able to use that word. My biggest thing in hearing the actual audio was, I don't know if who he was talking to, what, you know, if they were white or black or whatever, but he just seemed too flippantly comfortable using that word for me. And I don't know him, so I don't know what he is or isn't in terms of racist. I just think that if you're going to use it flippantly, whether you thought you were on or not, where everybody could hear you, I think that's a problem that needs to be worked on.
Well, yep.
Does Juggs think he's a racist?
Man, I'll tell you what.
If Juggs thinks he's a racist, then he's without a doubt a racist.
I think that. Because someone tipped me off, and I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Barry, I wouldn't know if you saw it because we're not friends on Twitter anymore. But someone tipped me off that he got it. Trey was basically obviously saying it's a horrible look for NASCAR. He had some concerns, but he was upset about it. And then someone had told me Trey almost got into a couple of, like, you know, knockdown dragouts on Twitter. And did I see it? And I said no. And then I realized it was another NASCAR fan getting into, and several other NASCAR fans getting into it with Trey because of essentially it started with all of this. And some dude said to Trey something about, I wish there was another Holocaust because people like you need to be dead or something. And I was like,
What?
Yeah. And then I looked at old boy's picture and he was picking people apart and everything like that. My man makes Billy Ray Cyrus look like he's got a crew cut. I mean, he has longer hair than like Cindy Crawford and he's got a beard and a tank top on. And he's got some kind of ferret in his hand while he's behind the wheel of a car in his picture. And I'm going, bro, you should not be throwing any kind of comments and or any kind of, you know, disparaging remarks towards anyone else. Because the first thing I thought was, well, I'd like Barry to roast him because this dude has more ammunition than an army.
I'm really surprised that a redneck with a mullet would make a statement like, we need another Holocaust. That's such a shocker. I mean, what?
And Trey, of course, in typical Trey fashion, was apologizing, saying, I got to be better. I shouldn't have done this. I'm going to probably take some time away from social media. And everybody's like, Joel, are you going to help him? I go, Trey's a grown-ass man, and he can handle himself, and I've seen him handle himself well when he needs to. I'm here for him. But I don't think he needs me. And then, of course, he was very humble again, saying, I got to be better. Well, that's fine. But when people say things like that, all bets are off, in my opinion.
Yeah. So this was on Twitter. All right. I'm going to go find this dude and roast him. It was on Trey's Twitter?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Is that what you were going to send me last night?
I think that was part of it. Yes.
See, the thing about Trey is that he'll just apologize if whether he's wrong, right, or indifferent. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yep.
He'll just react and says, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. No, you're actually right there, Juggs. It's okay.
Because
you're,
I think
you're correct.
Because, yeah, just reading what I saw of it, he was justified in everything that he was doing to defend his position and or defend himself from being, you know, bullied by people on Twitter. But you're right. He's just so humble that he just wants to downplay it and say it's all on him, which it wasn't. So, again,
oh,
it just shows
was,
you the
was
world
it
of
Matt? Was it this Matt? Oh, yeah.
Is that the picture with the mullet?
Yeah.
And the... I told you.
This dude. Oh, my God. This dude has definitely made love to a goat. There is no doubt in my mind that there are some animals that get nervous on his property when he wakes up in the morning and walks out. This dude. And by the way, he deleted the tweet.
Did he?
Yeah, because Trey retweeted it apparently and put, imagine telling someone this. It's not there. This tweet is unavailable. And then when you go there to the whole thing, whoo, boy, this fella, Matt Enerson.
Trey threw his. All right, man, you're about to get the business now.
Matt Enerson.
And he deserves every bit of it, Nick.
S-S-O-N. I don't really use this. Check out my YT or Instagram. Same name. Omaha, Nebraska. Yo, I'm telling you, this guy, oh my goodness. He's got a beard and a mullet, and he's wearing a sleeveless Corvette shirt. That's not a ferret. That's his dog, bro.
Well, close enough.
This dude.
Let me tell you something, Barry. Based on the hair, he could disguise any animal or anything because that is horrible.
His hair looks like he's wearing a Daniel Boone hat, like those old like the animal fur hats. It looks like he has on an animal fur hat, and wow, he looks like, you remember when you would see the bearded lady at a circus? That's what this dude looks like. He looks like the bearded lady at a circus. This is amazing. This cat, wow.
Yeah, he's a piece of work, man.
Oh boy, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so we got Trey had that going for him, which is nice. As we wrap up hour number one of the show, still got 2 hours to go. That means plenty of time for you guys to join, 713-780-3776. Back with hour number two in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.